Jesus in My Life, episode 19.
To be empathetic towards a situation like that is one thing, but I only saw it in a dream. And I woke up sick to my stomach. Like, he saw this in person, and it was his soldier. And I was like, wow. And so God really softened my heart and broke my heart for what breaks his in that way. And it was all him.
Welcome to Jesus in My Life, a podcast with Rob and Jack, where we interview everyday people like me and you about their extraordinary experiences with our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Welcome to another episode of Jesus in My Life podcast. We're so glad that you're with us today. Jack, welcome.
Hey.
I'm really excited about introducing to you my friend, Taylin, who is in studio. Taylin, welcome.
Hi.
I think our listeners are going to be really excited and expectant to hearing Taylin's story. And so, Taylin, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself to our listeners, kind of like a Reader's Digest version of your life, your story of Jesus in your journey or in your life.
All right. I'm 22 years old right now. I grew up going to church. I would always raise my hand to accept Jesus into my heart every Sunday. I was always that person. And yeah, I grew up in a Christian family, and I'm very thankful that those seeds were planted in my life at an early age. But as we all know, we all fall short. And so obviously there's some story of redemption in my life. But yeah, I started going to Uganda when I was 15, and I'd say I call them clicks, when everything just clicked for me. All the stories I heard when I was younger would click throughout life. And Uganda, when I was 15 years old, was one of those times. I had someone prophesy over me that I'd continue to go back to Uganda on missions, which was really special. And so God speaking to me through the gift of prophecy and others clicked for me. I didn't really know what that meant until it happened to me. And then joining the military was another way God kind of just revealed himself to me and opening doors. And yeah, so I never would have thought I would have joined the military. But when a recruiter reached out, I was like, heck no, I'm not going to do this. Like, crazy, I'm not going to do this. But it was on my heart every night and every morning. Wow. And I was like, oh, is this actually something I'm supposed to do? And then throughout the process, I mean, as some might know, it's really hard, and there's plenty of opportunities for God to shut the door on something like joining the military, whether it's the tests, the physical, the eye exams, whatever it might be. And I went into MEPS, and I was supposed to join that day. I was supposed to sign my contract that day. But in my physical, they thought something was wrong with my thyroid. And I was like, huh, like, I thought I was perfectly fine. Like, I don't know what's happening. So I had to get blood work done. I had to get an ultrasound on my neck. They almost had me get a biopsy because they thought like I might have thyroid cancer. And so this put a big delay in me enlisting. And I was like, okay, maybe this is a closed door. Like, maybe I'm not supposed to do this. Well, everything turned out okay. So I kept walking through that open door, and it turned out God had something way better for me. If I would have signed back then, before those issues came up, I guess I would have had no incentives and I would have been in a different location. But then since it was delayed, I got tons of incentives and a better location. And so
what's an incentive by chance? I don't know.
Loan repayment, signing bonus, a GI Bill kicker.
Awesome.
So education, tuition assistance, all that stuff. So I got all those actually, and I wouldn't have gotten those if like I didn't go through checking my thyroid.
So the delay got you to be in the recruit list at a time where they needed more people. So there was more incentives.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah. And I wouldn't have gotten my job, actually. I'm a religious affairs specialist, which is like a chaplain's assistant, and I wouldn't have even gotten that job. So it was definitely God through and through of just revealing to me, like, his plan is better than mine and his timing's better than mine. And so,
wow. How did they fit you into a chaplain's assistant role? Like, how did you get into that? Like, how?
So my major in college is Christian studies with an emphasis in global ministry. And they're like, I think you would make a great religious affairs specialist. And I was like, yes, yes, please.
That's great. Yeah. So you probably, when you were thinking about the military, you were probably thinking soldier, right? Like, I mean, you're a soldier regardless.
Yeah.
But God is like, yeah, you're going to be a soldier for me in the army.
Exactly. Yes.
Wow.
Very cool.
Taylin, I heard the first part there, and you said that at 15, Uganda.
Yep.
was there. And so how did that come about? I mean, was that, what were some of the circumstances that led up to you leaving the country? Was that like a kind of the first time experience for you to?
Yeah, it was. My aunt owns a nonprofit organization, Wendy Cross. If you haven't listened to her episode, go listen to it. but she has a nonprofit organization called X Hope. And I would go to garage sales when I was young, like 13, 12, 10. And I was super involved with this. And I was doing everything to raise money and support that. And little did I know I'd be one of those people going on those trips someday. Wow. And yeah, I was like, I want to go. Like, I want to see what you're doing over there in the orphanage that you started over there and what God's doing over there. And so I said yes, and I went, and it was life-changing. My life is forever changed. I just got back from Uganda not too long ago and Tanzania. So yeah, it's been great. And going and making disciples of all nations really sits on my heart heavily. And I take that very literally. So yeah.
Wow, that's so cool.
As it should be, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, just... I don't know. I don't know if this is necessarily a puzzle piece, maybe as you share that. I mean, kind of like see like how, you know, what were the, maybe the early stages of your training in the military. I mean, to have to leave your comfort and what you're used to. I mean, you know, your home, your country to a different land. Maybe that was some of the opening there of your heart.
For sure. And I'll tell you what, the craziest thing that was revealed to me in joining the military was, because when I joined, I was like, man, God, like, I thought you would keep calling me to Uganda, and now I'm going into the military. Like, I won't be able to go as much. Like, what's with this? And I sat down with a chaplain and got lunch with him, and I was kind of telling him my story and my testimony. And he was like, God revealed something crazy to me, and I'm gonna share it with you because I think he has something for you in this. And he said, therefore, go make disciples of all nations. The army is your nation right now. Like, we have our own clothes, our own language, our own food, right? MREs, and our own ranking system and hierarchy. And the army is your nation right now. And I was like, wow. So just that really resonated with me. And I was like, that is so good. So good. So that training was all leading up.
So Taylin, thank you for sharing that. That's really cool. So remind me then again, your position in the military?
I'm a religious affairs specialist, so okay. Chaplain's assistant.
So as you went through that process, and probably what started through your recruiter to kind of match, you know, match the assignment for you, what has that been for you? Where has God really stretched you specifically in laying out His plan and purpose for you, particularly in the nation of the military?
Yeah. So I'd say I was shown very early on that the military is a very dark place. There's a lot of sin, and there's not tons of Christians in the military. And that was shown to me day one of basic training and all the way through up until now. And so I was revealed very quickly that there is ministry to be done in this way. And just like anybody with any job, there's always, you know, gospel's everyday life, share it all the time. But yeah, I was shown very, very early on that God has work set aside for me and that He would use my story and He would shine through me with this job.
So I was curious, prior to the military, you had done missions, but you were always under the umbrella of a ministry that you were working with.
Yeah.
I would imagine that for the first time in your life, you were thrust into missions without that existing network. And I can't imagine that it didn't come with temptation and trial. How did the past prepare you for that?
So I learned, and I guess you would call this another click. I really learned what it was like to be fully surrendered to God and let Him shine through you and speak through you to others. And that it wasn't an organization I was connected with or a ministry I was involved in. It was just my God and what He's done in my life, Jesus in my life, right? And just sharing that with others. And so,
Taylin, what is it like to being light in this environment? What are some of the things that maybe the opportunities that you've had specifically, I mean, with confidentiality, you know, but specifically how has God, from your estimation, used you in your yes to doing something that you didn't think was even in your plan?
Yeah. First of all, the chaplain is the religious leader in the military. And so me coming alongside him or her and doing so has been very special. And being a helper in that way and supporting them has been great. But also just, I mean, I saw cheating in a way like I've never seen before, to the point where I almost like lost hope in ever being in a relationship because it was bad. It was really, really bad. Mm. But being able to tell someone that they are loved no matter what, and that God can forgive them for what they've done and they are not too far gone, and that life is better with him, that they're trying to fill this void with cheating and doing these things throughout training. I'm like, man, like, just pray and you'll like, everything will be okay. Mm. And so just being able to share like what God has done in my life with others throughout training has been transforming for sure.
We live in a country where we've had religious freedom, and a lot of that has come from people giving their lives for the freedom that we enjoy in this country. Having an inside track into the spiritual lives of soldiers, how can we as Christians pray for the men in the military, men and women in our military that are serving this country?
Yeah. So it's a hard thing for sure. You see things that we're the 1% of the whole population. So if you just think of that, like how many people don't get what we go through, it can be very lonely in that aspect and the trauma that you deal with. And we're trained to compartmentalize and we're trained to shove it down and be strong. And, but I would just, as a civilian, I would just pray that we would see God as our savior, like fully, and that he can fully heal us and that he's the only answer. He's the only one who can fill that void, and he's there for us when no one else is, and he gets us more than anybody else ever will. So although it can be lonely and people don't get it, he does. So,
that's so good.
Yeah.
Taylin, I've been able to meet your parents, your family.
Yeah.
And I'm curious when you really, maybe the first time you came home and you said, okay, I'm going to the military, mom and dad. Yeah. What was their response? I'm just curious.
My dad is very patriotic. He was very excited for me. My mom was a wreck. She was so scared and she's like, no. But yeah, in them knowing that I was just trusting the Lord and walking out this calling that he's put on my life, they were very understanding of that and loving through it. They're my biggest cheerleaders. I'll tell you what, I love them so much.
So another area I'm going back to like the soldiers and how we can minister to them. I think of my dad who was a Vietnam vet, right? Mm-hmm. He got drafted. He didn't go to war by choice, right? He was drafted in.
Yeah.
And he still suffers from the treatment he received coming back.
Yeah.
He remembers the day, he grew up in San Francisco, so, you know, it was the hippie capital of the world at the time. And he came back and he was in his uniform and the first greeting he got back was, "You're a baby killer." And he's like, "I didn't choose what happened, what I was exposed to. I didn't, none of this." He refuses to talk about what happened in Vietnam. It was so traumatic. He was in an artillery unit. And, you know, my dad's not, was never an emotional man, but like he went to the memorial over in DC, right? And he's like, that's the one place where he just broke down. He just uncontrollable weeping because it brought back so many things. How can we help when our soldiers come back?
I would just say be encouraging and be thankful because like I said, we're the 1%. There's not many people who do this. And nowadays, we don't get as much thank you for your service type stuff. Ever really. We get rather the opposite. If I'm seen out in uniform, I will get dirty looks. And then maybe another civilian will see that and try to step up and be like, what the heck's going on? But I would just say, be appreciative. It's a hard thing. It's really hard. So just be appreciative and not anybody can do it. So yeah, the people who have been called to do something like this, I would just say, be appreciative and understanding. And even if you don't have the right words to say, let's say to someone who's been through something like that and them sharing their trauma or whatever it is, like just be there. Just let them sit next to you. Let them weep. Let them rant. Whatever it might be, just be there. Because even us, like we know that not everybody gets it. You know, like Rob, you and I can go through the same exact trauma, experience it, but it'll be different for you than it was for me and vice versa. Right. So even if there's a soldier next to me. We just saw the same exact thing. We'll deal with it differently, but we can be there for each other no matter what. So I'd say even that, like as a civilian, just being supportive in that way.
That's so good. Yeah. It's really good. I can't help but think that your enlistment, your process of joining and getting in and doing what you do now in the Army is very similar to enlisting in the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
And so if we can kind of maybe go back to early thinkings or stages of this kind of laying out for you that this was God's plan, but still wrestling with, I'm not sure. Yeah. Like, you know, if we can maybe go back there and you can share with our listeners, maybe there's somebody listening right now and they're struggling with a particular decision or really wanting to live out their purpose. I don't know, maybe somebody out there is trying to find their purpose in some different ways, but kind of using that analogy of Jesus in our life, what would you say to encourage and admonish maybe that person who, you know, is like maybe on the cusp of, I'm not sure if enlisting, if we want to use that word, enlisting and allowing Jesus to rule and reign in my life. So I hope I'm making sense in that question. Yeah. Maybe you can share.
Someone always told me, they were like, you should make a pros and cons list. Write it out. Write the pros and cons. And so I did that when I was enlisting into the military. And I would recommend do the same thing, whether it's a decision to follow the Lord or whether it's a decision to get a job or whatever it might be. Weigh the pros and cons. I mean, the pros far outweigh the cons for me when it came to giving my life to the Lord fully. It can be scary for sure. And it's okay to wrestle with that and have doubts and whatever, but to just jump all in and fully be surrendered, you will have no regrets, especially when it comes to following the Lord.
Taylan, do you have any stories you can share of how God has used you in the role?
Yeah, this one's crazy, guys. This one's so crazy. And I haven't shared it much, but I, in general, am not the most empathetic person, I'd say. That's something God's definitely been working on with me. I've had to pray, like, Lord, please help me be more compassionate and empathetic to people. But I was going to an emergency and combat medical ministry training for 2 weeks at Fort Jackson in South Carolina with chaplains and chaplain assistants. And 3 days prior, I had had a dream. It was a very vivid, very graphic dream of something horrible happening. And I woke up from that sick to my stomach and I was like, God, why did you just show me this? Like, why? And so then 3 days goes by, right? I'm at this training and a chaplain is sharing trauma because this class was very trauma based in how we can help soldiers who are going through trauma and ourselves, whatever it might be. And this chaplain got up and he was sharing about trauma and it was my exact dream. He was sharing the same exact thing I saw in my dream. Like, wow. Word for word, like vision for vision. It was the same exact thing. And I was like, oh my goodness, that's why. That's exactly why God showed me that. And to be empathetic towards a situation like that is one thing, but I only saw it in a dream. And I woke up sick to my stomach. Like he saw this in person and it was his soldier. And I was like, wow. And so God really softened my heart and broke my heart for what breaks his in that way. And it was all him. I mean, I couldn't have come up with that. And yeah.
It's a God answer your prayer because empathy is often best represented by putting yourself in somebody else's shoe.
Yeah.
Right. And I love that about Jesus, that Jesus is the most empathetic he can be towards us, our high priest, because he knows our weakness, because he actually put our shoes on.
Yes.
He came to earth, lived a human life.
Yeah.
And so he understands all our weakness. And so he is empathetic to us to the max because he's lived what we live through, you know? And so God answered that prayer through a dream of letting you experience that, even though how horrible it may have been, right?
Exactly. Right. Ask and you shall receive, seriously. I asked and man, did I receive.
When you're overseas, are you able to minister to the local community or are you mainly focused on the Army internally?
Well, I guess I'll find out next month. I have not gone overseas with the military yet. Next month, I'm going to Kuwait with a rabbi, actually. And so he's going to support Jewish soldiers throughout Hanukkah.
Oh, wow.
But me, being Christian, I will be able to support Christian soldiers throughout Christmas and Thanksgiving, which will be very special. But I will find out. I know that I will be supporting all branches, not just the army. But I think also locals will be involved in that as well, in and around Kuwait.
Okay. What's the risk level?
We've been in Kuwait for some time now. It's not a combat zone, so should be okay. But in and around Kuwait might be a little sketchy, especially outside the wire. But God's got me. He's protecting me.
Amen.
For our listeners, just as I heard Taylin say that, I mean, she said it with a smile.
Yeah.
A smile and peace. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So describe that. Like, how, why? I mean, I know why, but you're confident about that. Like, God's got you.
Yeah. For me, I'm very confident in that. And I've seen that to be true. Just while I was in Uganda, you know, a situation happened overseas there. And Psalm 91, verse 11 says, I will command my angels concerning you to guard you in all of your ways. And that was a vision that was confirmed to me three times while I was there. And so I know that that verse is very literal for me, that he will command his angels to put a circle around me and protect me no matter what. So when people ask if I'm nervous going to Kuwait or anything like that, I'm like, no, I'm not. I know God's protecting me and he's called me there for a reason. And even though I'm missing Thanksgiving and Christmas, New Year's, my birthday, all the things that people might worry about missing, I know that he has a reason that I'm going, and it's far greater than my reasons for staying.
I don't know if I've shared this story on the podcast, so if I have, audience, forgive me. I'm an old man and I'm forgetting when I share my stories too much. But
you are old, yeah.
44 years old. When I was in Bible college, and I had an opportunity to go to Israel for 4 months. This is back in 2006. I think it was 2006. This is when they broke. There was a war with Syria, and I had been praying about going before the war started. Right. And I really felt God told me, you're going.
Yep.
And so my summer break comes in and the war breaks out. And I have other Christians who are saying, God doesn't want you to go to a war zone.
Yeah.
And I'm like, but he told me before it happened, he knew it was going to happen. So what should I do? What should I do? What should I do? God. And then just crazy. Right. Like, I started getting this devotional that's a daily devotional from a website that I've never gone to. And in the devotional, I decided to read it, and it was all about being in God's perfect will.
Yeah.
And it was the safest place to be is in God's will. And the devotional came from a ministry in Israel.
Oh,
my goodness.
It came from a ministry in Israel where this guy, he's American, he's a missionary there, and you know, people have been asking him, why are you staying there? It's dangerous. And his response is, the safest place for me to be is where God wants me to be. Exactly. And that's what I needed to like go for it. And so again, if you've heard the story, sorry, but you know, I get on the plane. I have like a 12-hour layover in Frankfurt, Germany. I can't sleep on planes, right? Mm. So it's like 36 hours from leaving San Francisco airport to getting to Israel. I haven't slept. I'm like literally a zombie. I'm delirious. And I get to where my dorm rooms are. I'm not even talking to anybody because I can't. I just get to my bed and I pass out for like 16 hours. And I wake up and I'm like, get to meet everybody. And I ask them, so hey, what's going on with the war? And they're like, there's been a ceasefire for like 24 hours, man. So when I was landing in Israel, the ceasefire was taking place, you know? And so like God knew.
Exactly.
Yes. He said, don't be afraid to go.
Yep.
I got, this is in my hands. And even if there was a war still going on, the safest place to be is in the middle of God's will.
Exactly. And he doesn't give us a spirit of fear. I mean, the Bible talks about all these things. It's very clear. So I read that thing and it's truth, and I've seen it to be true. So encourage anybody, hey, read that thing. It's good.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's like when you like take the step, just as you're sharing that, Jack, very similar, Taylin, as you've shared here today, that when you take the step, God meets you there. I think we get a lot of anxiety and uncertainty when we're trying to see something maybe written in the stars. I don't know. Mm-hmm. God, should I take this step? And God just says, well, take it. Yeah. if I'm in it. Take it. Trust me. Yep. And then when we do, God meets us there. And then the next step. And then I think this is what the Bible talks about when we're in step with the Spirit.
Exactly. He stands behind me, walks with me, and goes before me. And
he's your soldier.
Exactly. He is.
That's so good.
Yeah.
I love it. Well, Taylin, it reminds me of your story. Always, all the stories, everybody gets to share, it reminds us of our founding verse, which is in Luke chapter 8, verse 39, where Jesus has healed a man from demon possession. Mm-hmm. And this man wants to follow Jesus. And Jesus says to him, return to your home and declare how much God has done for you. And this man goes way beyond what Jesus asked him to do, to go back to his home, his family, and tell them how Jesus had delivered them. He went to everywhere. Anybody he ran into in the city, he was telling them, like, Jesus has delivered me. Yeah. Jesus has worked in my life. That's so good. And you've done that today.
Yeah.
Right? Jesus has worked in your life. He has led you to where you're at. You are walking in confidence of the calling he has on your life. And you're testifying that today. And I know that it'll bless somebody that needs to hear this today. So thank you for being on the show.
Of course. Thank you for allowing this platform for people to share Jesus in their life. It's very special.
Yes. And Taylin, thank you for your service. The fact that we're even able to do this podcast is a direct result of you serving.
Thank you for your support.
All right. Well, thank you. And everybody, we'll see you next week. And now a reflection on today's interview. One thing that really stood out to me in this episode that I just absolutely love is God's timing of things. You know, Taylin had followed God's leading to join the military and found nothing but delay at first and a potential medical issue. I'm sure that was very discouraging at that moment. Little did she know, it was all part of God's plan to ensure that she got maximum incentives for joining and a hand-picked position in the military to serve Him. And I love that. So often in life, we'll run into obstacles when we're trying to follow God's will. And we must at those times wonder, did I hear you incorrectly, God? And the fact of the matter is, God is basically saying, not yet. Wait on me. I have a better plan with a better future. And like we said in this episode, the perfect place to be, the safest place to be, is in the middle of God's will. Have a blessed week. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to Jesus in My Life. New episodes release every Tuesday. Subscribe on your preferred podcasting platform so you don't miss a single episode. If you have enjoyed this podcast, please consider sharing this podcast with a friend or family member. If you would like to help our visibility online, consider rating us and posting a review on Apple Podcast. Have an awesome Jesus in My Life story? Contact us at jesusinmylifepodcast@gmail.com.